Well, go, baby, go, baby, go, baby, go. Hey everyone, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
We are coming to you live. We're live. Call in. We're not live. Don't call in. Well, call in, but leave a message.
Yeah.
Sunday night, everybody's favorite night. Tom Brady. In case you're recording it, no spoilers.
What's happening?
He won.
Oh, he did?
7 goals, baby!
Wow.
That's right. All you gotta do is be a pretty excellent football player and a, you know, questionable human being.
It's just so crazy that he's my age.
And you've won 0 Super Bowls.
I know.
Won 7.
I know. What have I been doing with my life?
I don't know. You gotta get out there. You gotta hit the gridiron, honey.
I gotta get into his program. What's it called?
TB12, baby.
I mean, I bought you the book.
Yep, you should open it.
You never read it.
It's a lot of avocado.
We like avocados.
Yep.
He doesn't like strawberries, I read today.
Oh, boy. We're really reaching for articles, huh?
Well, there was an article about, like, how has he, like, is he a cyborg, essentially?
Uh-huh.
It was in the New York Times.
Right.
Takeaway
was he is a cyborg?
Kind of.
Interesting.
The takeaway was like, clearly what he's doing is like working for him. There's never been anyone else like him who's like operated at such a high level for so long.
21 years.
Yeah. Like most quarterbacks his age are old and creaky and like can't walk.
Yeah. But most quarterbacks his age don't have the protection he has had.
Mm, fair.
You know, he's also very, he missed a season getting injured by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm.
And then Garoppolo.
Right.
So,
that's true. But still.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's had injuries.
Yeah, sure.
He's come back.
He's come back.
Gronk was back tonight, too. Gronk and Brady won a Super Bowl again.
Oh, Gronk's on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gronk came out of retirement for Tom, you know? All the people at Belichick was like, yeah, they're done. Meanwhile, they win the Super Bowl. How's that going, Bill?
Well, this is not Matt.
But I like it, though. I like
Super
it because Tom won one without Belichick. And
yeah.
Now Bill can try to win one without Tom. Might not.
I know. Turns out he needed Tom more than Tom needed him.
Finally, somebody.
Exactly.
Somebody was needed by Bill Belichick. Anyway, that's enough sports talk. I'm sure no one cares.
You're going back to work tomorrow.
Yes, I am. I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I'm so pumped. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, they say symptom-free for 48 hours. And then it's a whole thing of like, well, what's a symptom and what's not a symptom?
Right.
And the questions of like, what is this fatigue? How long will it last? Is this a symptom? Or is it just an effect?
Yeah.
So I don't have an answer.
No one has an answer.
Correct. So I'm just like, I'm exhausted thinking about it and horribly out of shape. And part of me is like, I'm winded because I'm out of shape. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like more than that. But I also spent the last month doing nothing.
Right.
Like, literally nothing.
Yeah.
Because I had COVID, so
right.
I just did nothing. Didn't move at all. So that's annoying.
Yeah.
I feel like, kind of like I came out of a space station.
Yeah.
You know, my muscles have atrophied. Am I ready to go work 14 hours? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
What do I do?
I think if you are not feeling well, you leave.
And then what? You know what I mean? It's like, when do I come back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a tiny part of me. It's like, oh, maybe I'll just tell them that I'm going to do 8 hours a day and call it.
I mean, I kind of think you should.
Or right now. But whatever. We'll see. We'll see. We will see. The end.
I mean, if this were Forever 35, we would say, be kind to yourself.
Well, as we know, I've never been kind to myself.
No, you literally have never been kind to yourself.
So that is a foreign idea. Mm. I'm like, so, hang on. I apologize for the yawn, everybody. It is not going to get easier.
No, it's not.
It's 7:30 and I feel like it's midnight. Wow. Anyway. What else is going on? What happened this week?
Our nanny quit.
Our nanny, I mean, you could say quit. I say decided to finally pursue her dreams. Turns out not a lot of people dream of being a nanny.
Yeah, she quit.
You call it quit.
I mean, it's fine. It's just
I would just the, say what, I would say you, gave her notice.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't like walk off the job.
Yeah.
To be clear. She is leaving though.
Yeah.
So I talked to in Rye today, I talked to our facilitator,
yep.
leader, teacher, about like how to prepare Henry for it.
Yeah.
She said
tell him every day.
No, she said she recommended two books about death.
Okay.
One is called The Dead Bird. It's by the woman who wrote Goodnight Moon. And the other is called The Tenth Good Thing About Barney. And it's by the woman who wrote Alexander and the No Good Horrible.
Yeah,
blah,
bad
blah,
day.
Blah. Yeah. They're both about dead animals. She said that it introduces the concept of people leaving. And that it's just like a good thing for him to sort of like wrap his head around. So she said, start with the books. And then she said, a week before, we can start having conversations with him about it. Say, you know, something like, she's going to be leaving our family. She's not going to be working for us anymore. It might be hard for you. It might not be hard for you. But if you're sad about it, we can talk about it.
He and he'll can't go, talk. And he'll go, Biku. Biku.
And he'll go, Dida.
Ha ha.
But she also said,
Bubba.
She also said something which I appreciate all of her advice, but she also said that we should have like a, you know, part of what these books talk about is having like a ceremony or a ritual over saying goodbye. So I think on her last day, we'll have like a little, you know, goodbye ritual for her.
That'll be sad.
No, it won't. It'll be festive. It'll be nice. It'll bring closure to everyone, I think, instead of just being like, okay, bye, you know? And then he'll remember it as like, oh, remember we said goodbye to her on this day.
Yeah. But we could still have her on weekends when we do podcast recording. So.
No, she's figuratively dying, according to her.
I see.
Ryan's truck.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. So that's, you know, come March 1st. I'm all for it. Like, I mean, just as a person who also
had
a full-time job. And then,
of course. I want everyone to pursue their dreams.
Although, you know, I never really quit. I did part-time at some point. I never actually I didn't fully quit until I was already on television. Mm. Still worked at the Apple store.
Did people ever walk in and recognize you?
Yeah, it happened a couple times. The one guy had me hold his baby. We took a picture together. And then I was like, I should quit. Why am I still at the Grove? I don't like to quit things, guys. Except weight loss programs. Ha ha. Mm. Anyway,
you don't like to quit things where you're obligated to another person.
Correct. That's why it's so important for me to be accountable to somebody who's not me for everything. Mm-hmm. The end.
Yeah.
And all these bullshit apps with their counselors. First of all, they're all women.
Interesting.
And like they're advertised, like, because like they don't advertise weight loss to guys.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like it's not just a one problem, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, occasionally they'll have like fucking Joe Montana selling. What a lean cuisine or something. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, that's it.
Yeah.
The end. They'll have like Kevin Smith be a Weight Watchers spokesperson, but you go on a Weight Watchers app and every counselor's a fucking old lady. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm like, I just feel like you're all the same person. You're all Karen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm accountable to who? I don't care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Now, there was like a Karen that was coming over every.
Are you talking about Karen, my sister?
No.
You're talking about Karen as the Karen.
The meme of Karen.
The meme of Karen. I see.
Okay. Oh, that's a bummer for her, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of.
No, she's not.
I feel like she'd talk to a manager. She's a bad haircut away.
That is not nice.
Look, she can come at me, but look at her birth certificate. She's a Karen.
I feel like the people who are actually named Karen tend to not be Karens.
Who's another one?
I know a woman. I know a journalist named Karen who is not like that.
Mm, interesting. Well, okay, boomer. Right? Come on. Go win another Super Bowl, Tom, right? Jeez. Louise. Anyway, what else are we talking about here?
We're talking about our son.
Henry.
He got a haircut today.
Henry got a haircut today. I've got, you know how I did nothing for many weeks, everybody? I like also suddenly have like a show to develop and go back and shoot the Goldbergs and... It's like, I got to do 900 podcasts, and I'm just like, oh, no. It's like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
It's very dull. Dull? No. It's not dull. It's like annoying.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I'm just like, I don't know when I'm going to get it all done. Ultimately, I will get it done because I'm accountable to other people.
Right. That's true.
So, that being said... I feel like I can't do both things next week.
Both things. Which both
get
things?
Get this show developed.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to Goldberg's work.
Right.
So I'll push the call. I'm falling asleep thinking about it.
Oh boy.
It's very strange. What's happened? What are we talking? Who is this? What are we doing? Hi.
Wow.
Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
Some bad podcasting.
Bad podcasting or the best podcasting ever? It's just real. You know, we're just getting real here.
We are getting real. That's true.
Cleaned out. I got, you know, my office is getting cleaned out because the treadmill's coming finally.
Yep. We bought a treadmill.
It's exciting. We're going to hopefully not hang anything on it. You know, treadmills turn into, like, extra wardrobe racks.
I do know that. That is their reputation.
Yes. So, I'm going to make an effort to not make that happen.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
So, it's going to be a pretty dope gym in here, you know?
You can, like, watch things on it.
No, I can't.
No, I mean, you can have your iPad
right.
And watch things.
I might hack it.
Okay.
I won't hack it.
Okay.
It's like I'm too lazy to think about doing that. Mm. I mean, I could try, but I won't try.
Okay.
Anyway, point is, here we are doing this podcast. You know, I could play a video game while I'm on it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just walking.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do, guys. Just start walking. I don't have to put a mask on.
You used to love walking.
Oh, it was my joy. My joy division. So, I'm looking forward to it. There are often, you know, often there are many times where I'm like, I wish I had a turbo. And then I don't have one, so it'll all change.
Everything will change.
Nothing will change. We'll be back here in a few months talking about it. Dory will talk about how she is in a purge group and got rid of the treadmill. and then that'll be that. Did you talk about the purge group on Forever 98?
Forever 98?
Whatever, 35, 40.
Not specifically. I've talked about how I've been selling a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think of it as selling. I think of it as just, you know, it's bizarre. It's like Dory's in a large Facebook group with other, seemingly it's mostly other
it's moms.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is they just shuffle the things between each other's houses.
Yep. That's literally
really silly. It's really silly. Dory's like, I gotta go to Eagle Rock to drop off a couple of things. Then comes back with a bag of toys. I was like, I thought you were getting rid of some stuff. Yeah, but I also had to do a pickup while I was out there. So it just is like this weird cyclical thing. I said, this is very fuzzy guitar math you're doing.
Except it's like one thousandth of the price.
No, but like it's just like it's very funny to me in the sense of like, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to get rid of some guitars and I come back with a guitar case.
Yes.
It's like I thought you were getting rid of guitars. Yeah. I did. But right. Also I got this new one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm familiar with your ways, guitar man.
It's just nice because like people have kids of different ages. So if like
sure.
So you know, if there's like toys I need for Henry.
But like this is where we're at, everybody. I get a text. Do we need a griddle? I go, what? No, we don't need a griddle. How about this sandwich press? We don't need a sandwich. Why would we want to put that? That would just take up space in our house.
It makes such nice paninis.
Oh, yeah. We're always panini. We're a big panini house.
It's like the 90s.
Yes. Yeah. It's the 90s. Ugh. God, those disgusting infomercial breads. Just like white bread with tomato sauce and cheese. And they'd sell it as like, you can make a calzone.
Some pesto.
It's like gross.
There's always pesto on
it. Sure. But that's sort of, that's this purge group of like, yeah, all these kids are different sizes and shoes. It's really just like, please get rid of some kitchen equipment. And also, I'd like some kitchen equipment.
Someone was selling a lot of kitchen equipment today.
Oh, yeah?
They sold an Instant Pot for $48, which I was like, you know what? That's actually, that held its value.
It did. That's truly. Are they hard? They're hard to get now?
I don't think they're that hard to get. I think you can get one. But they're like $100.
So, like, I mean, I don't know. The idea of like going somewhere to somebody's house, you know, it's all safe. It's all like leave it outside, curbside pickup stuff. But like $48.
You know what else I like about it?
For a used.
You know what else I like about it is what? A lot of this stuff would probably have ended up in the trash. And it's like
sure.
Good for the environment to buy secondhand.
To waste the gas. To drive across
listen,
town.
Listen, a lot of these people have Priuses.
A lot of Teslas out there. A lot of Priuses. I just think it's funny.
Also, most of them live in Northeast LA. I'm like an infiltrator in the group.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm usually the one driving the farthest, but yeah. They all live near each other.
Anyway,
so they're not driving that far.
It's funny, this whole situation. This is like this month's Animal Crossing. We'll see. We'll see how it goes, everybody. Have you played Animal Crossing?
No, I was thinking about getting back into it.
You should have done it during your two relaxing days of your relaxing day and a half of me watching Henry. You should have, like, Animal Crossinged.
I should have. I didn't even think about it.
Well, at least you relaxed.
I did. All right. Well, let's take a break.
Nah.
Okay.
Let's just roll into the next thing. Just kidding. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're back.
I just want to remind everyone, please send us your emails.
Please.
DoryandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo. You can call or text us at 413-461-BABY. We love your calls. We love your texts. Send us all the things.
Contact us.
Please do contact us.
Find out how. You just did.
Okay.
I'm going to cry.
Why?
My left eye is watering.
Oh.
That's what I mean when I say I'm going to cry. It's not an emotional thing. What's up, honey? You're wondering what I'm doing here?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to just get me to the next destination so that when I don't even remember where I'm going, that when I'm ready to play the game again, it's all set.
Can you not? It's very distracting.
I'm not doing anything. I don't have to touch it anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, this first email is from Beth. She's from Edmonton,
Ontario.
And she paused the pod to offer an idea for the listener with ovulation day pain, primarily on one side. No babies or pregnancies here. 41-year-old body. For the past 5 or more years,
how many Super Bowls?
I too have had some cramping from my right ovary on ovulation day, give or take, a year ago during some ultrasounds, internal and out. Wee. Exploring a large mass right on my belly, right of my belly button. Good sized fibroids, not currently causing issues other than being there when I push on the spot. They also found a cyst on my right ovary. Was told not the kind that tends to be cancer, so no current concern. But since then, I've wondered if this cyst is the source of the cramping during ovulation.
Hmm.
4 or so hot dogs in 2021 and a 650 square foot house.
Cool.
That's some...
tiny living.
That's some small living, but that's also some good advice for this person to look into. So thank you, Beth, from Edmonton. All right. This is an interesting email that we got from Maya. And she wants to hear our thoughts on the ethics of donor conception, specifically the balance between reproductive rights for same-sex couples and others with biological barriers to conceive and the rights of donor-conceived people to their genetic info and family members. I have a 4-month-old son conceived via sperm donor. Mm-hmm. I joined a donor conception discussion group on Facebook shortly after we decided to move forward with a donor and was shocked to learn from DC individuals in the group that there are major ethical debates raging regarding the donor gamete industry, as well as the choices of recipient parents, topics which I had never even seen mentioned in my various infertility groups. Most members of the group in question, primarily donor-conceived people, strongly oppose anonymous donation, including OpenID, which allows a child to make contact at age 18. Many members believe donor conception in general to be a human rights violation unless the donor is welcomed from birth as a third parent with full access to the child.
What?
I was devastated to find out that these were the prevailing views expressed by DC people, and it made me question whether I should be considering donor at all, since my husband would absolutely not be okay with a third parent being part of our family structure from birth. After a lot of soul searching, we decided to move forward with an OpenID donor, a decision I felt comfortable making given my strong belief that same-sex couples, single mothers, and other couples such as ourselves with no biological path towards parenthood should have the right to conceive at least a partially biologically related child and parent without expanding the family unit to include a third person in a mom or dad role. I still feel confident in the choice we made, but a lot of my views on the industry have evolved, and I now personally feel that DC people should be aware of the identity of their donor from birth. Anonymity should be banned, and there should be much more regulation of sperm and egg banks to limit the number of offspring and focus on the well-being of the people conceived, and not just the sale of gametes for prospective parents. I feel very confident in my own views. My issue is that my husband has a wildly different attitude from me. He personally feels very little connection to his parents and other genetic relatives and has a hard time understanding that genes can be meaningful beyond determination of physical features. He's an only child and has no idea how impactful sibling relationships can be. He has come around to accepting that our son should at least have access to his half-siblings, 4 of whom I have made contact with at this point, and that we will support our son in whatever he needs regarding the way he was conceived. We plan to be open with him from birth and always made it clear that we are happy to discuss the donor or any concerns as they arise. My issue is that my husband still writes off the DC people who express anger at the industry or at parents like us who have opted not to use known donors, and his dismissal of the views of DC people really bugs me. I don't want him to reference these people as crazy or maladjusted in front of our kid, as I'm afraid it would result in our son feeling there is shame in his story or any negative feelings that might arise from it. While I recognize that there are likely many DC people who are not bothered by their conception out there not posting in support groups, I also hate the assumption that anyone who feels anger towards the industry or recipient parents like ourselves is maladjusted or generally unhappy or ungrateful person. As I know from infertility, it is possible to be a happy person who has experienced trauma in one part of life. Curious to hear your or any listener's perspectives on how we can honor the rights of DC people, the infertility community, and LGBTQ plus folk at the same time, and how to navigate conversations about these topics with a partner who may not see things in the same light. Thank you so much for all you do. This podcast got me through 2 years of infertility in one piece. Sincerely, Maya, living in Westchester in a 1,000-square-foot apartment with one husband and a baby. Hot dog count 3, even though I was pregnant and felt guilty afterwards.
Well, I mean, get it in now, because the kid's not going to have hot dogs for like 90 years. Kids can't have hot dogs till they're 40, I think. They'll choke. It's a choking hazard. Hot dogs. Can't have them. It's the size of the esophagus. Okay. What about all the other stuff that's also the size of the esophagus? Well, hot dogs are round. Anyway, you should get on Facebook and check out one of my hot dog support groups. A lot of people very angry about hot dog rights.
Honey.
In that group. Specifically that group.
Are you...
What I'm saying is... Not downplaying
sounds the hot like dogs. You are.
I'm trying to like think of an analogy here. Like what? Go to the top of that email again, and like what groups are they in?
She is in. She just says a donor conception discussion group on Facebook.
Donor conception discussion group. Okay. First of all, there's got, you think about like all the people, maybe there are donor conceived, children out there who don't even know they're donored.
I'm sure there are.
Maybe there are donor conceived people out there who feel like your husband feels. I don't think those people are going to see, you know what I mean? Like if they're okay with it.
Well, she made that point too.
Will they seek it out and have a discussion on the internet?
Right. She also made that point.
Yeah, but it's like going to Yankee Stadium and being confused. Why are there so many Yankee fans? It's like, well, look where you are. You're right in Yankee Stadium. It's like if I was walking down, you know, that's sort of my... I would broaden the horizon.
My only thought on this is that the people who are old enough to be in a donor conception discussion group on Facebook who were donor conceived themselves were conceived in a much different time.
Sure.
You know, where like it wasn't common for people to tell their children that they were donor conceived. I mean, I know anecdotally a couple people who found out as right. adults,
yeah,
because their parents had kept it a secret.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more like shame and secrecy around it when these people were conceived.
Okay.
So I think they are coming at it from a very specific
POV
point of view and context. So I think that is also something.
Is our dog outside?
How did he get outside?
Was he in the house barking?
I don't know.
How are we going to figure this out?
I guess I'll go check.
None of us are going to look. Hang on. I'll look out the window. Okay, well, I looked out the window, and then I didn't see Bo, so I went inside the house. We heard him from the front of the house, in here, with headphones on.
Yeah. And somehow Henry didn't wake up.
Well, he's probably just having a great time in dreamland talking to himself about
bikus
and cacos. But yeah, it was an Amazon package. Henry's wipes.
Yep.
Came at 7:50 on Sunday night.
Of course.
Sure they rang the bell or something.
Yeah, that's probably
it's
why.
Heavy.
Yeah.
So then Bo lost it.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to defend the house. I'm alone. Baby's in here. Now back to this DC.
Yes. So
you're saying different time.
I'm saying different time. I'm not
context. Yeah.
I'm not saying that to like downplay how feel.
We all saw Philomena.
I did see Philomena on a plane.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Of course. But I'm just saying. Different time.
Anyway, I'm not saying that to like downplay their experience or the you know the validity of how they're feeling. I think obviously they feel that way and they have a right to feel
babies.
That way. But you know, I think that it's good that you're aware of these things. I don't think you need to take on the responsibility of the whole donor community, LGBTQ parents.
If your parents came to you right now.
The infertility community. Like, this is a lot that you're putting on yourself.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of legwork that right now you should really just be focusing on that
4-month-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like what that 4-month-old is going to think when it can understand the concept of donor conception.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be aware of all of these things and keep that in mind as you approach, you know, telling him and how you kind of move through the world with him. But I don't think you need to, like...
It sounds like you're seeking guilt.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit like that. And the other thing I would say is I think you can probably leave the Facebook group.
But unless it's a purge group where you could get rid of, like, some pans you don't use, then I would stay in that Facebook group.
She didn't say it was a donor conception purge group.
Yes, so that... What else do I want to say about that?
I think these are...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like, if someone came, if my mother and father were like, hey, guy, Matt, you were a donor egg or sperm, I'd be like, oh, that explains a lot. Thanks. Okay, well, you're still my parents, so I don't really care that much. I might do a light Google. And then if, like, my actual... you know, genetic parent was a gajillionaire, then I would contact them. Mm. Otherwise, I'd be like, who cares?
I mean, look, I think a lot of these people do have a lot of pain and a lot of anger. But I don't think that that is like pain and anger that you are going to solve or that you can take on. I think you can respect it, but I don't think you're responsible for it.
No.
So...
Don't borrow trouble, as Kate Spencer says.
Don't know my agent says that.
Oh, wait. Kate Spencer is your agent now.
All right.
Stop it. I'm borrowing trouble over here.
You have the trouble. The trouble's here. All right. We have a voice memo.
Okay. Hang on. We hit the buttons. All right. Give it a whirl.
So I'm calling to see if you or any of the listeners have some advice for what my husband and I should do with some embryos that we have. So we have, we went through IVF a few years ago and we got 4 genetically normal embryos. One of them was successfully transferred, the first one, and we had our daughter about a year ago. I would love to have more children, but my husband is pretty confident that he's done and doesn't want any more. And he's been confident about that since before we had the baby and continues to be confident. So we have 3 genetically tested embryos left that are just sitting in storage. We are in our late 30s. Actually, we're going to be 40 this year. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to want to have another one, but at the moment I do. Anyway, we're probably done having kids, even though I'd like to have another one. So one of the things we're trying to figure out is what to do with these extra embryos. I certainly want to keep 1 or 2 in the off chance that my husband changes his mind. But we do have a family member, a cousin that's in her early 40s, and she tried to get pregnant for years. She went through many, many cycles of IVF, and unfortunately, it was never successful. And we have considered offering her to adopt 1 or 2 of our embryos, but we also recognize that it's sort of a sticky situation and we can't decide if bringing it up with her is a good idea, if it would even be something she wanted, and, you know, potentially is bringing it up just going to cause her more anxiety and stress because she's gotten comfortable with not having children at this point. Or should we bring it up with her just so that she has the option if she's interested? She is in her early 40s. I think she's 42 or 43. So I feel like if she was going to do it, we would need to bring it up sooner than later. And so we're just having a really hard time deciding whether we should bring up this possibility of her adopting 1 or 2 of our embryos because we don't want to be insensitive to where she is and that she's managed to get comfortable with not having children. But we also want to give her the opportunity if that's what she wants. And then we also recognize that there's probably some challenges that we could have, if, you know, with our genetic child, her having our genetic child, but it's not our child, it's her child, and whether or not that might create some complexity. So we're just having a really hard time making this decision. We don't know if we should keep these embryos in storage or what we should do. So I am just looking for any help or any stories that anyone might have of having allowed their embryos to be adopted and what that experience was like. And if anyone has done so with their family, that would be really helpful. Any advice would certainly be very helpful. 2,900 square feet in Whoa. Colorado. We Whoa. Have a big dog, a cat, and a one-year-old daughter.
Whoa! It's-
I thought this was an interesting voice memo in light of our previous email.
Let me just say a couple of things up top here. First of all, you need to hold on to those embryos. Because what you said was, I want to hold on to one or two in the off chance that my husband might change his mind. So let's say your husband does change his mind. You've gotten rid of one or two of the embryos. That embryo you do decide to put in does not take. How will you feel that you now don't have the other two embryos you've just gotten rid of? That's one. Two, you're having a hypothetical moral quandary in your head with a person that may not want kids anymore or may not want to go the donor route. Or doesn't even know the donor route exists. So I would have a discussion with your cousin, Big General. I'd take a general with him. Now in Hollywood, what that means is you go to somebody's office or you go somewhere for lunch and you both talk and never work together. That's a general meeting. I've had them all over town, every lot. Now, those are my two big points of advice.
I think those are good points of advice. I had the same.
They're not advice. They're just like, this is what I say. Now, that being said, however, I will say that I am also, I think that you're correct to ask for people who have been through this kind of a thing and their opinions. And also, I'm interested to know what that route of donor embryo to family member, what that's like.
I think these are all excellent points. I had the same thought about deciding down the road that they want to have another kid and the transfer not working. And then not only not having the other embryos, but what if the cousin had the kid?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh, well, you know what? That's mine.
Right. Like, that's... That would just make everyone feel awkward and bad. So I feel like
the kid's 1 year old. Their kid is 1 year old. Give your husband time.
Yeah,
he'll come around.
I think you got to give it a little more time. At least do the transfers. You know what I like? I would not. If you're even thinking about this, I would not do it now. And you know, I do think it's interesting in light of our previous email, like thinking through if you did this and she did have your genetic child, what would your relationship with her, what would your relationship with the child be? How present would you be in the child's life? Would your kid grow up knowing that this was their sibling? Like, all of these questions, I think, are things that you really need to think about. And is it something that you want? Is that a relationship that you want?
To quote not Kate, but Dory's agent.
Don't borrow trouble.
Don't borrow trouble.
All right.
Now we're going to take a real break.
We are.
And we'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, we're back.
We are.
Lots of big questions this week.
Lots of big questions.
You all don't have to email. If like a few of you answer with like really good emails, then take the burden off everybody else.
We got another good email from Lauren.
I'll be the judge of that.
Who says, hi, Matt and Dory, and hi to the caller from Marion, Massachusetts with low ovarian reserve. I don't have any recommendations, but I wanted to say thank you for sharing. I, too, have low ovarian reserve. At my retrieval in 2018, we got 4 eggs, one of which fertilized and became my son, and another fertilized and is frozen at Boston IVF. My son turns 2 this weekend, and I turned 40 last year. We want to transfer our last embryo, but at first I was told that insurance would only pay for it if I passed the Clomid challenge. My FSH has always been good, but when I had my blood tested pre-challenge for a baseline, it was 23. I didn't even qualify to start the Clomid challenge. We talked to our RE last week, and he's hopeful that insurance will approve the transfer regardless, and we would 100% transfer the embryo, whether insurance paid for it or not. But now I'm hit with the reality that because of my FSH levels, insurance probably will not pay for another round of IVF. I always thought we'd be fine if we had an only child, but now that that possibility feels more real, it's scary. But that's it. Just wanted to commiserate and say thanks to that caller for sharing her story. Looking forward to hearing responses from others going through similar issues. Thanks to you guys for being a constant in all this crazy mess. Lauren in Norton, Massachusetts.
Norton. That's all I have to say about Norton.
Wow. Well, I hope everything kind of works out. I know it's like when theoreticals become reality, it can be a little hard to wrap your head around. So I feel you, Lauren. And I'd love to hear from other listeners who are kind of navigating this as well. Well, on a totally different note, mm-hmm. I mean, not totally different, but like kind of the opposite of this note, the other side of the same coin note.
Would be having too many ovaries.
Well, okay. This is from Stephanie. Hey, Dory and Matt, thanks for everything you do. I've been listening to your podcast for years now. I first heard Matt on Gilmore Guys.
Hello.
My husband and I were trying to conceive at the time, so Excellent Adventure was right up my alley. All this time later, we now have a 10-month-old conceived through IUI. Yay. Baby Weston is amazing, and I feel so grateful he is in our lives. We often listen to your podcast on our walks. Since I have PCOS, I assumed we would need to go through fertility treatments again for baby number 2. I had a whole timeline laid out in my head of when we would start trying, especially to avoid another baby born during lockdown in Ontario. Once was enough for me. Well, I'm now one of those people who got pregnant sans science after fertility struggle. I found out a couple of days ago and I'm happy but also in shock. Yes, I know it was still possible, but after what we had to go through, I just assumed we would not be able to conceive on our own. Baby will be due in October when Weston will be 18 months old. I'm very worried about having 2 under 2. The first time around was overwhelming and I just really want to feel prepared. Please send out the 2 under 2 signal. I need tips and advice, stat. Also, I feel bad coming to you with what may seem like champagne problems. Please know that I feel for every couple out there who is struggling, and I hope they're able to create the family they dream of. Sincerely, Stephanie in 2,000 square feet with 2 adults, 1 baby, and 4 cats.
Meow.
2 indoor, 2 outdoor.
Meow. That's what Henry says.
What does the cat say?
Meow.
Meh. He says meh.
He's really fascinated with W's and M's looking the same.
Oh my gosh.
He likes to turn the book around upside down and ask us what the letter is. Then he likes to flip it back and ask us what the letter is. Boy, does he get out of kick out of the W and the M being the same thing.
Really, really kind of blows his little mind.
Yeah. I feel like I started that with the right side up, upside down page of the other book.
Oh, maybe.
Where I flipped it over and I was like, now,
that's
right side up and that's upside down.
Yeah. He does it like, he'll do it like 3 or 4 times and he's like, okay.
Yeah, he's really just trying to process it.
And they're in rural southern Ontario, Canada.
We have a lot of Canadians. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, good on you. Don't feel guilty that you have now got to deal with the fact that you'll have 2 under 2. You silly, silly person.
Did she say she feels guilty?
Oh, like, I mean, not but like champagne feels... problems and like, you know, that, right, the tail end. That's all I'm talking about. Sure. Well, also the fear that, like, you know, you'll have two under, it'll be fine. I'm saying that like, it'll be fine. It'll be great. I don't know. I have nothing to add to that, Dory.
I don't either. Over to you. I think we're going to have to hear from listeners about this.
So, does anyone out there have Irish twins?
Oh, I'm sure someone does.
Let us know.
Let us know. All right. Moving on to the pretzel bun portion of the podcast. It's from Ruben. Am I mistaken, or did a listener ask for a pretzel bun? Oh, it's true. Recommendation. If I didn't confuse my podcast, I'd like to share that a local Boston restaurant has a mail order pretzel division.
What?
They do pretzel bites, pretzel slider buns, regular pretzels, and long skinny ones called turnbuckles that are perfect for standard dogs.
I love that there's an answer for this.
The company is called Eastern Standard Provisions. And when you go to their website, it says not all pretzels are created equal.
Wow.
And they, it looks like they have a lot of pretzels.
Where do they ship? Do they ship to the contiguous 48?
Let's check their FAQ. Can you ship orders outside of the U.S.? No, they only ship in the United States. But they don't say that they can't ship to Alaska and Hawaii. They're in Waltham.
Waltham, Massachusetts.
Yep.
That's pretty fun.
Yep. That's cool.
Is tomorrow President's Day?
No, next week.
Gotcha.
Yep. This place looks good.
Yum, yum.
All right. Thank you, Ruben. That's esprovisions.com. And he's in 900 square feet, two adults, two kids, probably two hot dogs a week minimum. Only KM.
KM Natural Casing, the world's finest hot dog. I love the snap. Boy, I wish they had KM Natural Casing hot dogs out here.
But then he says, but my favorites are bar none Casper hot dogs out of Northern California. Check them out.
All right. I bet those I could probably get shipped down here.
And then Beth, who we heard from at the top of the show, texted back.
Yeah.
To say, second pot pause from Beth in Edmonton. The pretzel recipe I was using for hot dogs came from the blog Sally's Baking Edition, 30-minute soft pretzel. Made this recipe many times over the summer, worked well every time. I was able to adjust the quantities up or down, depending on my needs that day, so you could easily make a quarter batch to know if you like it or not, and it will be even faster.
My pretzel needs today are far exceeding this recipe.
Also, only use white flour. Worked great. And then she included the link, which I will put in the show notes.
Let me tell you, a warm pretzel, you know, with a nice cheese dipping sauce. Oh, boy.
Not mustard.
Depends. Okay. I mean, it depends. I prefer like a cheese.
All right. Good to know.
Because it's obviously much less healthy. The big pretzel from the sports book at the Wynn in Las Vegas.
Really?
Oh, that's a mighty good pretzel. Anyway, it's giant too.
And then Gabby from Philadelphia texted to say that she had her first hot dogs of 2020 and 2021 last night. My absolute fave, Boar's Head Uncured Beef Natural Casing Frankfurters. I know Matt's a pork dog man, but these are so tasty. I make them in my air fryer and they get such a nice crisp to them.
I always boil. I'm a dog boiler.
And she is in a 1,200 square foot condo with me and a toddler part time.
You live there?
What?
She said, you said she's in a 1,200 square foot condo with me.
She says I'm in a 1,200 square foot condo with herself.
I gotcha. Okay.
And a toddler part.
Just want to make sure.
I don't live there.
Just want to make sure. Yep, you're not off there. Enjoying Boar's Head Franks
in
at
Philly?
Your other home in Philly.
Thanks for the rec, Gabby.
Gabs, thanks.
All right.
Much appreciate.
One last question from Ruben. He wants some input on your sleeping arrangements. A few weeks back, you mentioned Matt sleeps A few weeks back, Matt mentioned he sleeps in the prone position.
Yes.
A few years back, I think he mentioned that he wears his headphones to bed. How does he do this comfortably? My over-the-ear headphones only work well on my back, which I can't do very long since I'm a side sleeper. When I tried wireless earbuds, they either fall out while sleeping and get lost in the sheets, or they drill into my ear canal. What I've settled on for probably a decade is wired earbuds and only have one in at a time.
That's interesting.
The top ear, no ear pain, and easy to relocate in the middle of the night. I've tried gimmicks like the flat earphones, stopped working within weeks, and the earphone pillow. Not great. How does Matt sleep at night?
Let me tell you. The Bose QC35 and the QC35-2. You don't have to get the 35s. You can get the 35-2s. They're very comfortable. Started sleeping on a plane with them, and then I got used to it and then slept not on a plane with them. The Apple AirPod Maxes, their over-ear headphones, arguably work better when you're laying down on your side. Because they're so flat and aluminum, and they don't push up into your, like, to scrunch your ear at all. Now, I will say there's a little problem. The Bose has this little funky little problem. They're noise canceling. So if the noise canceling is on and you happen to cover the microphone that it uses to know if it's putting out the right wavelength to eliminate the background noise, if you happen to cover it, it will buzz in a very loud, feedbacky way.
Oh, that's annoying.
But that's only if you try to remember which side it is. I think it's on the right side. If that whole cup gets covered by a pillow, oh, it's no fun. So you got to be careful. But yeah, so it's the QC35s, which I slept with for like the last 4 years, and the currently I've been sleeping with the Apple headphones. Number one reason is because they can charge and you can listen to them. Sometimes I'd forget to charge the Bose, and it was like, this is a disaster. How am I going to sleep? This is a disaster, I'd say.
I remember that.
Okay, that's it. That's my headphone advice.
All right. Thank you, Matt. That was Matt's headphone
corner. You want a big over ear that is comfortable. That's what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ruben.
Thank you. All right. That about does it for tonight.
No, I've got more to say about headphones. Okay. I'm just kidding.
I don't
have anything to say about headphones.
Other podcasts. Now is the time when we thank our Patreon supporters. We are very, very grateful and appreciative of their support. If you support us on Patreon, you can get up to 2 bonus episodes per month at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And also, if you support us at the $5 level or above, you not only get the episodes, you also get your name read on the podcast each month.
What I will?
A treat. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to become... Oh, my God. Also, you know what I'm remembering right now?
What?
I don't think I ever put up the other episode.
The Patreon?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I fell asleep. Patrons, check for your second January episode. It's in the feed right now.
Oh, boy.
Thanks to Dory for reminding me by putting this in the email.
Oh, my God.
A reminder, you can support us on Patreon.
I just said all
that. Oh, yes, you did. You know why I didn't hear it? Because I was panicking. Because I was like, did I put that episode up?
Oh, my God.
Carolyn Land.
Greg Watchorn.
Jennifer H.S.
Melody Baltazar.
Angie James.
Tyler Rosewood.
Abba N.
Alan L.
Alec Meredith of Fletcher. Florence Bevel.
Alex Liu.
Amanda Lighty.
Amy.
Anne Flucker.
Anonymous, Anonymous, Anonymous.
April Cherry.
Ariana Perry.
Ashley. Cecil Lee.
Aurora and Zelda.
Becca Foster.
Bianca L.
Brett Jarrett.
Britt S. Baker.
Bruno Macias. Macius, Machius, Bruno.
Carly Moore.
Carolyn N.
Kathy Hill.
Chinami Worth.
Cynthia Meisner.
Dana Caldwell.
Debbie Meredith, a.k.a. Let's Conan's mom.
Dana Caldwell. Dana Caldwell is a character on the Goldbergs.
Maybe they...
It could be the real Dana Caldwell.
Could be.
From Philly.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Dory's giving me the wrap it up, Matt.
You got to post our Patreon that you forgot.
Diana
Robinson.
Diana Martin.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Dr. Beverly Crusher. That's the same name as the the doctor from...
Yes, I know.
From Star Trek.
Yep.
Okay. E. Fast.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elizabeth Dorado.
Emily F.
Aaron Goodge.
Aaron Turley. Thank you all very much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.